You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good morning. We are concluding our series today called Renew. We have been doing a character study. This is the last of the series. And if you happen to join us for the first time, you have to go listen to the podcast. You have to look at what we've covered so far. When I say character study, this is not an exposition, meaning to say we're looking at different characters in the Bible. And we're seeing how we can relate into the issues that they have in their lives. We have issues in life. It happens to all of us. For this morning, we will look at the life of a passionate man. A man was very zealous for the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is Peter. We will look at the problem that God resolved his issue in life despite the passion, despite the zeal, despite being the leader of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered with guilt and shame. Sobrang bakat na bakat po yung guilt and shame kay Peter. It took him a while to actually get up and realize how much Christ still loved him despite his failures. So I'd like for us to turn our Bibles farewell to Luke chapter 22, verses 54 to 62. It says here, then they seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Bible says Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, this man also was with him, but he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly, this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Some of you know that I am a pet lover. And that's the reason why I took biology in college. And when I was in third grade, I have 5 aquariums. I have 1 marine aquarium and I sell fish. So that's a hobby and an entrepreneurial in nature as well. So I would sell fish, I had my own Nara tree, I had my own sets of rabbits, I have my own dogs. My dog's name is London, I remember. The saddest point in my elementary life, my dog went missing, London went missing. And on my way to school, I saw a dog that was roasted on a stick. So I really feel like up until now that that was my dog. But what is sad was that, I hope you won't judge me for this one, as early as when I was in third grade, I had my own rooster, and every single morning, no fail, every single morning, I would play with my rooster. I would get that stick that you have that has a cuddly rooster-like stuffed toy on the edge. So I had something like that. I asked my parents to buy me one, so I didn't ask for PlayStation. I wanted that. Every single morning, I would play with my rooster to teach my rooster how to fight. I love that rooster. I would even bring that rooster to our neighbor to have his hat. They would cut it with blade and they would feed it on the rooster. They actually cut it out and feed it in the rooster. Well, that's just superstitious, I think. But one thing I love about my rooster is that every single morning, I would know if it's already daybreak. So I would get excited every time I would hear my rooster. If you ask me right now, every time I hear a rooster crow, whether that's in a Ceres bus, yeah, someone brings rooster in Ceres bus, right? Or whether that's in your neighborhood, for some reason, it brings delight in me because it reminds me of a beautiful past. It reminds me of my childhood memories with my rooster. But I think that was not the case with Peter. That wasn't the case with Peter. You guys know what I'm talking about. Sometimes there are some monuments, some food that will remind you of a delightful past that you've had. Well, some things will remind you of a terrible past. For Peter, every time he would hear a rooster, before he was restored by the Lord Jesus Christ, he would be reminded of a terrible thing that he did. But of course, after he was restored by the Lord Jesus Christ, every time he would hear a rooster, he would be reminded of the great love that Jesus Christ has lavished upon him. Let's look at Peter for a while. Let's look at his personality. And I think some of you could relate to his personality. Peter was called Cephas. He was one of the first few disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. His occupation was, at that time, he was a fisherman. If you read the Bible, you'd come to a conclusion that Peter was strong-willed. He was fiercely loyal. The man was fiercely loyal. He was impulsive. That was good, and that was also bad for him. He was impulsive, meaning to say, if you would talk about strengths, the man was an activator. You want someone to do something tomorrow, you have to call Peter. If Jesus says, let's go to that village, Peter will be the first one to be there. He was quite impulsive. Not just that, he was also outspoken. That's why, in several occasions, he was rebuked by the Lord Jesus Christ. With many words, sin is not absent. So you know that Peter was also outspoken. I think many of you know, it was actually Peter who had the audacity, the courage, to actually draw out his dagger and cut the ear of the one who wanted to take hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was actually Peter. Of course, we understand that Jesus wanted to fulfill the will of his Father. He told Peter that these things must happen. In John chapter 11, verse 37, it was Peter who says, Lord, why can I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. It is a natural response for someone who is fiercely loyal to their leader. Peter was the only one who told his leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is going to lay down his life for his Lord. But of course, we know what happened based on the story that we've just read. We know what happened while he was following Jesus in the courtyard. People started recognizing him. Why? He was with Jesus Christ, and people started recognizing him, and you know what happened? Peter failed. Not once. He denied Jesus Christ, not once, not twice, but three times in a span of 2 hours. In fact, other accounts would say that he didn't just deny him, he also cursed because of the pressure of the moment. So Peter failed, but he didn't just fail. Peter failed terribly, miserably for that matter. Let's look at the fall of Peter for a while. As we look at the story of Peter here today, here's my prayer for all of us. If you read the story, you'd come to understand that the denial of the Lord Jesus Christ is one of the most famous stories in the Bible. This is a story that even unbelievers are aware of. This is a story that has been repeatedly told or mentioned again and again, even in different cultures. This is a story that is so popular. But I hope and pray that as we look at the story of Peter, we will find ourselves in Peter's story. Meaning to say, along the way, we will see the failures of Peter, but I hope and pray that we will be able to relate and say that apart from God's grace, I am going to be that person. Where at one point in our life, we will realize, man, I've done something like that. I hope that we will find ourselves in Peter's story. First thing that happened to him, let's look at the fall of Peter before, of course, his restoration. That's what I love about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I love about the Bible. There's always restoration in the end. Amen? There's always redemption. You look at the book of Genesis down to the book of Revelation, it is actually a story of God's redemptive power over his people. First thing, Peter's fall happened while he was following Christ. In what sense? Look at this one. Luke chapter 22, verse 54. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. Credits to Peter. You know why? Because a lot of us would say, Peter, you're a coward for denying Jesus. But guess what? What actually failed was not his faith. What failed was his courage. Because the truth of the matter is, he was following Jesus from a distance, but where are the other disciples? He was the only one who had the audacity, the courage to be in the courtyard. He was following Jesus from a distance, maybe covering himself with cloak, and when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard, Peter was there. He sat down together with them, among them for that matter. So imagine this with me for a while. If you read the Bible, you'd come to understand that there were actually two guys who actually failed the Lord Jesus Christ. The more famous one is Judas. Judas exchanged his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ for pieces of silver. So what is the difference between Judas and Peter? For Judas, because he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, it cost Jesus his own life. But their common denominator first is both of them, both Judas and Peter, both of them denied or rather failed the Lord Jesus Christ. The difference was for Judas, what he did was something that was premeditated. It was premeditated. He planned it out. He planned his own failure, but not so with Peter. Peter was in the middle of his passion and in the middle of his zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ, yet we all know that he failed. For many of us, we might be thinking that Peter's life or Peter's situation is like that of the people out there who doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so. That is not the case. if you try to make a parallel with his life or with his failure, with what we have right now, Peter at this time was having a thriving relationship with Jesus. It's like you in the middle of being a victory group leader, having a good relationship with Jesus Christ, yet in the middle of that summit, in the middle of that deep communion with God, you failed. And I want us to understand that was the situation of Peter here. The next thing that I want us to know regarding his failure is that Peter idolized his own convictions. Quite scary. He idolized his own convictions. Just within 6 hours after saying this, Peter declared, "Even if everyone deserts you, Lord, I will never desert you." After 6 hours of saying that, he denied and disowned Jesus Christ 3 times. He disowned the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. You know what I mean? You love the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to do everything for him. You can say that you love Jesus. You love Jesus. And that was the same case with Peter. But I hope and pray that we will understand this, that we have to be careful that we don't have a misplaced faith on our strong faith. It's one thing for you to come before God and tell God, "Lord, I know that you know that I love you, but yet, Lord, I am still dependent on your mercy. I am still dependent on your grace. I will not come out there and basically brag about my very strong conviction." I hope and pray that we will not be people who will have a misplaced faith on our strong faith. That happened to them. He failed. He did this. He did that. That will not happen to me because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, church, I want us to understand that we are all vulnerable. The enemy would always come to steal, kill, and destroy. That is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." I'm not here to scare every single one of us, but I'm here to submit this to every one of us that at the end of the day, we have to understand that we are only standing because of God's grace. That we should always rely on God's strength and pursue God's strength over our life. Peter fell at the height of it. He idolized his very own convictions. He idolized his intact integrity for that matter. And another mistake that he did was that Peter warmed himself on the wrong fire. In Luke chapter 22, verse 55 to 56, it says here, "And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, 'This man was also with him.'" This man was also with him. That's the time he was recognized. Friends, I want to tell you that it was actually his loyalty and his courage that brought him to the courtyard. Kudos to Peter. But it was his arrogance that exposed him. I want us to understand that, you know, Peter warmed himself in the fire of the enemy until things got too hot for him. If there's one thing that we can learn from the story of Peter is that we understand, or rather we will understand that we can be at the wrong place for the right reason. That was what happened to Peter. We can be at the wrong place for the right reason, for the right motive. But let me just remind everyone that if we linger at the wrong place saying that we have the right reason, we might end up getting caught with the things that were happening in that wrong place. The wrong thing that happened with him was that he warmed himself in the wrong fire. What happened next? It says here, Luke 22, verse 56, "And a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light, looking closely at him, said, 'This man was also with him.'" Here's what happened. "One woman," he says, "I do not know him." First denial. He says, "I do not know him." I don't know. Maybe he was surprised that someone recognized him. That's the first one. And it says here, "And a little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You are also one of them.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' Then after a while," Bible says, "after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, 'Certainly, this man was with him, for he too is a Galilean.'" Now, most likely he was mingling with people that people recognize his accent. Teka lang, yung accent mo, parang Galilean ka. Hindi ba kasama ka ni Peter? So, na-recognize yung accent niya. So, sabi niya, "Ay, hindi ganyan balat, Ilonggo good kaya?" He started denying, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about." And friends, look at what happened. And immediately, the Bible says, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And four accounts of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, talks about this certain scenario right here, that the rooster was crowing. He was reminded of his zeal without wisdom. He was reminded of his arrogance, that Jesus actually reminded him that you will actually deny me three times. But yet he was there. Like what I said, there's nothing wrong with having courage. But it went too far that he started believing in his very own convictions. And Bible says, and immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And here's what happened. In Luke chapter 22, verse 62, and Bible says, he went out and wept bitterly. I want you to imagine that for a while. He went out of that place after denying Jesus. Because the Bible says, if you look at the account of John and the account of Luke, the crazy thing here was that right after the rooster crowed, he actually saw Jesus staring at him. Imagine that scenario. Imagine Jesus beaten black and blue. He starts looking at you right after that moment. Imagine the guilt of Peter. Now, man, I have failed you, Lord. No, every single badge of being an apostle, being overconfident, basically fell to the ground. He realized, man, that I'm in the same place as Judas, for that matter. That's why he wallowed in guilt and shame. But let me just say something for a while. When it comes to weeping out loudly and bitterly, I want us to understand that Judas did the same. So it doesn't mean that because someone is weeping bitterly, that someone is already repentant. Because for Peter, it actually led to his changed life, but not for Judas, for that matter. Peter wallowed in guilt and shame. So the result of the guilt and shame, as you would allow me to look at the story here, I'm going from different verses. What are the results of the guilt and shame for Peter? Look at this, Mark chapter 16, verse 7. It says here, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Look at this one. This was the time wherein Jesus has already resurrected. This was the time that Jesus already resurrected. And the angels, or rather Jesus, sent for Peter. But you know what's the crazy thing here? The funny thing here is that Peter was categorized separately from the disciples. I mean, this is the man who was supposedly the leader of the disciples. Yet Mark chapter 16, verse 7, go tell his disciples and Peter. You know what this suggests to every single one of us? That because of his guilt, because of his shame, he cannot, quote unquote, forgive himself. That instead of further running into the community that God has provided for him, he started isolating himself. That he was no longer, at least at this point, categorized as one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes it happens to us. Like what I said a while ago, I asked all of you, and many of you said that many of you have failed the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of times, because of guilt, because of shame, we start shying away. Every time we find ourselves far from God, I want you to understand it was not God who moved. Every time we find ourselves far from God, it was actually us who's actually running away from God. And that is not God's will for every single one of us. If you're here today and you're wallowing in guilt and shame, and you feel like you don't need church community like this one for you to be restored, because you feel like you don't want to talk to someone, because you feel so terrible, you feel so bad about yourself, I want you to understand that when you're not in the best of moods to talk, that's the best time to talk. I want to turn this in as an appeal. I mean, not just guilt and shame. If you're offended, if you're grieving over something in the church community or whatever, you wouldn't allow yourself to further isolate yourselves. Because if you isolate yourself, the devil will start feasting on you. That Peter needed to be categorized separately from his disciples. The more you pull away, actually, the darker your situation becomes. If you pull away from relationships, you pull away from a community. I want us to understand that we are made for community. Jesus instituted a community around Peter, but he was nowhere to be found. He started doing something else. Look at this one. John chapter 21 verse 3 says here, Simon Peter said to him, I am going fishing. If you remember, when Jesus found them or when Jesus called them, Jesus gave them a commission. Not commission in terms of money, a commission, a call. Jesus told them, from fishing fish, now I will call you fishers of men. And what happened in the life of Peter was that the Bible says, I'm going to go out fishing. Right after denying Jesus Christ three times, after failing Christ, he doesn't see himself fit, quote unquote, to be part of the disciples. And he went back to his old self. He went back to the very things that he did before Christ found him. In short, Peter has backslidden. He has backslid for that matter. Now, the great call that he has in his life, remember, Jesus told him, on this rock, I will build my church. The great destiny, the great prophetic words are nowhere to be found. He feels like, man, I am a big failure. I have to go back to what I used to do and I start fishing for fish once again. Left the call, left the disciples, left the great destiny in God's kingdom. What is worse is, I want you to understand this, our life will always influence the people around us. When he told the disciples, I'm going to go back fishing, look at this one. The other disciples said, we will go with you. As Christians, we have to understand that every time we live our life full of passion, it is actually contagious. But if we are also called in our relationship with Christ, it is also contagious. We will bring other people with us. And that was the case for Peter right here. The people were actually inspired to do the very things that they were doing before. Let's look at the restoration of Peter as found in John chapter 21. Here's what happened. Here's his story. He told the rest of his friends, I'm going to go back fishing. I'm going to go fishing. The Bible says they were fishing all night. Their former profession was fishing. They're so good with the lake, they memorize where the fish are. And the Bible says they were there the entire time and they caught nothing. Talk about something that is not God's will for you. Talk about doing something that is not cut out for you in terms of God's purposes and will for your life. Despite the skills, despite the experience, for some crazy reason, we don't get anything on this place. Could be because God is teaching them something. And here's what happened. The disciple whom Jesus loved, it was John, therefore said, it is the Lord. You know why is that so? Because what happened here was that, while they were fishing, Bible says they caught nothing during that time. And someone from the shore during daybreak, let's say 5 in the morning. At 5 in the morning, someone shouted, hey, have you gotten any fish? Nah, we got nothing. That man told him, throw your nets on the other side of the boat. Are you kidding me? The net is here. The other side of the boat is here. What difference does that make? But all right, let's do it. The moment they did that, they realize it's a net full of fishes. This looks familiar. This sounds familiar. There's only one person who can cause miracle to happen with something like this. With something that is barren. With something that is desolate. Only one man can bring about the miraculous. And John suddenly left that net and started staring and gazing at that man on the shore. And the Bible says he shouted, it is the Lord. It is the Lord with all excitement. It says here, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, narinig lang niya that John was yelling, it is the Lord. Guys, it is the Lord. Look at this one. He put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. Meaning to say, he stripped his outer garment. And that basically signifies that by doing that, he's going to do or do something or rather live out the life that he used to live. But the moment he realized that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment around him, the very garment that they were bringing with him when they were healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, seeing the miraculous, having stories with the Lord Jesus Christ up until wee hours in the morning. And the Bible says he doesn't care about all of those fish. Bible says he threw himself into the water. He didn't even mind helping the other disciples. Does that sound familiar? You remember the Samaritan woman? The moment she had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, she left behind her jar, her water jar, and she doesn't care. It is the same thing with Peter here. He left behind a net full of fish. And here's what happened. He swam towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what happened. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Bible says, the moment he arrived on the shore, of all things that he can encounter, why in the world, Lord, are you preparing a charcoal fire? Rooster makes me feel so bad. Charcoal fire makes me feel miserable. In its original Greek, friends, that word charcoal fire in John chapter 21 verse 9 appears only one other time in the New Testament. And it was in John chapter 18 verse 18. It says here, "Now the servants and the officers had made a charcoal fire." It was the very same fire, charcoal fire, that Peter was recognized. It was in the same place that he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was not like Jesus was praying the charcoal fire and he was like saying, "Oh, ano, familiar, Peter? You know what you did to me?" It wasn't like that. Because I want us to understand, by one charcoal fire, he denied Christ. By another charcoal fire, he is restored in Christ. By one charcoal fire, he says, "I do not know him." By another charcoal fire, he says, "Lord, you know that I love you." Talk about the redemptive act that Jesus was setting up for his beloved friend right here. It wasn't like Jesus was reminding him of the terrible things that he did. But Jesus was setting up a place or an environment wherein Peter could experience restoration. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." What a wonderful story. It wasn't like Jesus was saying, "Okay, we're all here now. Let's have an open forum. Open forum tayo. So Peter, now that I'm here, why did you deny me 3 times? You go to God's word, there's no such conversation. Jesus prepared food over a charcoal fire and told them, "Let's have breakfast." Just like the good old days. Nothing's changed. There's no look in him that he's raising his eyebrow. It wasn't like, "So John, how are you?" Then it's like looking at Peter, like talking to everyone except Peter. It wasn't like that. Then over the charcoal fire, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, "Over the charcoal fire, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him once again, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep." It wasn't like Jesus would want him to feel bad about what he did publicly. It's just that he wants Peter to say publicly that indeed, he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, no offense. Lord, paulit-ulit, pambihira. "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything, God. You know everything. I may have failed you, I have made a mistake. I may have denied you 3 times. I may have been so overconfident. I may have been so arrogant. I may have been so impulsive. But you know all things, Lord. You know that I love you. What a divine setup. What a divine setup for him to publicly declare his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Friends, I want to invite you to go back to this story. When you go home later, you'll realize that there was a public denial 3 times. There was a public denial, but there was not a public embarrassment and humiliation for that person who denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know what happened in this story. After a while, Jesus commissioned him once again. You know what's the crazy thing here? You go to the book of Acts, the very powerful preaching of the gospel was preached by Peter himself. Now with no arrogance, with no self-advancement, with no glorification for himself, stripped of everything, yet preaching the very power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that Peter did much for Jesus after his fall than he did before. I'm not saying that you have to fall. But I'm saying is, we understand that we are recipients of God's grace. And if you understand restoration, we would understand that we don't have to wallow in guilt and shame. You don't have to forgive yourself because you shouldn't be forgiving yourself. That's not even in the Bible. We just simply understand that God's mercies are new every single morning. His mercies are new every single morning. If you may have failed, if you may have sinned, if you may have denied, if you may have rejected, you may have disowned the Lord Jesus Christ, if you may have failed, I want you to understand that failure is an event. It is not your destiny. So rise up. Brush it off. And be a living testimony of God's compassion, of God's mercy, of God's grace. If we fail, it's just that we're stripped of everything that we are. But we understand that greater is He who is in us than He who is in the world. Friends, in Jesus Christ, there is acceptance. In this story, there is acceptance. And the people may not respond this way, but Jesus will always respond this way. He will always accept us. He will always restore us. And He will always give us back the joy of our salvation. Allow me to end with this as I pray for everyone. If you're here today and you could relate to the story of Peter, you're wallowing in guilt and shame, I am not discounting the fact that you may have done something that grieved the heart of God. But you shouldn't be staying there. That is not the end of the road for you. That is not the end of it for you. It's not like God is telling you, okay, enough of you. I have to go to someone and just use someone for making them. God can still use you. It's not God who is discounting you. It's sometimes we are the ones discounting ourselves. If you're neck deep right now in guilt and shame, I want you to understand that you have to walk out of your miserable, self-imposed confinement and experience the love of Christ. Once again, experience the love of God once again.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.